بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بفقه النفقات
Part 4.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وحكما وهدى. أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى. صلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome you to today's lesson in the fiqh of marriage. And we're approaching the end of the chapter in the book Balugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam on the fiqh of marriage. And it's been about 84 lessons so far. This may be one more lesson, we'll complete this chapter bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And these are the commentaries by our Shaykh from Madinatul Munawwara, Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salim. May Allah have mercy upon him and benefit us with these lessons. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. So Alhamdulillah, we started a few lessons ago with a chapter on the nafaqat. Nafaqat is the spending. Who is one required to spend on and support? And we mentioned last week that the person, the hadith we began reading, inshallah we'll read it right now together. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Kafa bil mar'i ithman an yudhi'a man yaqut," rawahu an-Nasa'i. It is enough of a sin for a person to abandon or neglect those whom he feeds, or his dependents. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يُضِيعَ مَنْ يَقُوتَ. This is the words of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it's narrated in An-Nasa'i, the book of hadith by An-Nasa'i. So here in the commentary on this hadith, first of all, is that a person when spending, they should begin with his dependents. Instead of giving charity to somebody far away, to somebody who's poor, who may be deserving of that charity, but if he has a close dependent who is in need of that money, then he should begin with those people. Because it's a sin if he neglects or he does not spend on those who are near to him. Either out of spending on others and neglecting those who are directly dependent, or out of stinginess and holding back from those who he's required to spend on. This is prohibited. Yes? Okay, this is regarding the nafaqat. When it comes to the zakah, the zakah is an additional matter which is beyond what is the nafaqat. The required spending comes before the zakah. Before a person can spend zakah, he has to give the nafaqat. If he has anything left, then he calculates his zakah and he has to give it to those who are not his dependents. Why does he have to give it to those who are not his dependents? Because if he's giving it to his dependents, the zakah, it's as if he is giving the zakah to himself. Because that's already his required duty, to support his wife, to support his children, to support his parents. So now he has to take care of his wife, and he, instead of taking care of giving her the money from his wealth, he gives her his zakah. Then in fact what he's doing is decreasing his required spending on his wife and replacing it with the right of Allah for the poor. So as if he's taken the right of the poor and given it to himself. If it's somebody who he is not required to spend on, like say a nephew or niece or uncle, then in this case it is mustahab to give them the zakah, because in this case not only you're helping the poor, of course provided they're eligible for zakah, but they're also joining the ties of kinship, silat al-rahm. So when you give it to your uncle, your niece, your nephew, not only are you helping that poor person, but you're joining the ties of kinship. So in that case, they actually have more of a preference to be given zakah. But when it comes to the dependents, we're not allowed to give them zakat, except in very specific circumstances. Say the son is in debt, for example. Normally the nafaqat, the required spending on the children, you don't have to pay off their debts. That's not a responsibility of the parent. So if the parent gives the son some money to pay off his debt from the zakat, then this would be allowed in that case, inshallah ta'ala. Now, okay, so here there's another issue that comes up with spending on the close dependent. Is it, and one should begin with his direct dependents. Is it allowed for a person to give away all of his wealth? Say that a person, I mean, when we look at this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, it's enough of a sin to neglect those whom you have to feed. Now, somebody, he has money and he wants to give away his charity, and as a result of giving away all of his wealth, he doesn't have anything left to give his children or his wife. Is this permissible? Is this allowed? Someone might think it would be allowed because of the story of Abu Bakr when he was competing with Umar, and Umar brought half of his wealth. And then Abu Bakr, he came and he gave everything. And the Prophet ﷺ asked him, what have you left for your family? He said, Allah and His Messenger. So he gave everything. So some might think that this is allowed to give away everything and leave the family without spending. But actually, when we look at the issue, the ulama said that Abu Bakr's family was pleased with what he did. They approved of what he did. It wasn't that they were complaining and saying, you left us without food. In fact, they were very patient and they were happy. And we find that in the Hijra, when Abu Bakr, he migrated to Medina with the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't leave any wealth behind. So Abu Bakr's father, Abu Quhafa, he came to his house in Mecca, and Abu Bakr's daughter, Asma, was there. He was a blind man. So he said, he knew that Abu Bakr had made hijrah. So he said to Asma, you know, what did Abu Bakr leave for you? Asma was a very smart girl. She took a bag, and her grandfather was blind. She filled it with stones and she hung it on the wall. Then she took her grandfather and made him touch the wall with the stones in the bag, and she said, look at all this wealth he left for us, mashallah. He left his gold and silver for, you know, that's what he thought, Abu Quhafa thought. So she was supporting Abu Bakr in what he did, in migrating and giving away his wealth. She didn't complain about it, she actually hid that reality from her grandfather. So if the family allows that, and they're pleased with the husband giving away all his wealth, then it would be allowed. If they disagreed, then Abu Bakr would not have done that, because that is his responsibility. So we can't use the hadith of Abu Bakr as a proof. Also, Abu Bakr was very wise. In other times we see that he was responsible. It wasn't that he just gave away the wealth without paying attention to responsibility. As soon as he came to Medina, he had some source of income, because when they were buying the land for the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and it was belonged to some orphans, the Prophet ﷺ insisted on paying for it. Even though Abu Ayyub said, I'll talk to the orphans and you can take it for free, he said, no, I have to pay for it. What is the value? 20 dirhams. Abu Bakr came forward right away and he paid the cost of the land. So he was responsible enough to be able to earn money again and pay for the Prophet ﷺ's land for his masjid. And also, when the Prophet ﷺ, he was in Medina and Aisha was ready to come to him as his wife, the Prophet ﷺ didn't ask for her. And she was ready to come. So Abu Bakr, he asked, Ya Rasulullah, Aisha is ready to come in marriage. Why aren't you asking for her? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, I cannot afford her dowry. I don't have any money to spend on her dowry. So Abu Bakr, he said, I will pay her dowry, and you take Aisha. So he was able to be responsible for his family and for the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. But if a person fears his family will not be patient, they want a certain standard of basic living, and they won't be patient with giving away the wealth, then he should keep the right of the family in mind. There's one other hadith when Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, he was one of the great Sahaba, he came to Mecca. He became very, very ill, and he wanted to give away all his wealth. And he asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "I have a lot of wealth and I only have one daughter. And I'm afraid I'm going to die here in this land that I left. I made hijrah from this land. Let me do some charity, you know, to make up for, so that I can have some good, you know, before I die. So can I give away all my wealth?" The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "No." He said, "Can I give away two-thirds?" He said, "No." "Can I give away half?" He said, "No." "Can I give away one-third?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "One-third, and one-third is a lot." And then he said a very important statement, which is that to leave your inheritors wealthy is better than leaving them begging people for food. To leave your dependents wealthy is better than leaving them begging for food, asking for charity. The Prophet ﷺ did not dislike charity. Did he not want Sa'd to give the charity? He would have loved him to give the charity, but because of the importance, he knew that when a person is dying, they get some kind of feelings where they're worried about their akhirah. Now they want to spend their wealth. They want to get some good deed before they die. At that moment, when they're more concerned about the akhirah, they should not forget about their dependents. So to leave them wealthy is better than to leave them in poverty. Also, if a person is sick, the Prophet ﷺ said, it's enough sin to hold back from your dependents, even out of stinginess. This is a big sin as well, to hold back like Abu Sufyan when he didn't spend on Hind. This was out of stinginess. Maybe he's thinking, I'm going to save it for the future. But here the ulama say that the needs that are needed right now have more priority. The future Allah will take care of. If there's a need for the family, that has more priority. A person came to the Prophet ﷺ, another example, and he said, "I have a dirham, what should I do with it?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Spend it on yourself, your needs." He said, "I have another dirham." He said, "Spend it on your children." He said, "I have another dirham." He wanted to give it in charity. He said, "Spend it on your wife." He said, "I have another dirham." He said, "Give it to your parents." He said, "I have another dirham." He said, "Give it to your relatives." He said, "I have another dirham." He said, "You know best where to spend it." So the Prophet ﷺ set down an order of those who have the right to be spent on. He said, first yourself, and then your children. In some narrations it says your wife first, and then your children. In some narrations it says your wife, then your parents, then your children. Different narrations in the order that they should be spent on. But the himself comes first, then his children, and then the wife. Some of the ulama put the wife before the children, and they say that the wife must be spent on, because even if she's rich, does the husband free of responsibility? Even if she's rich, she still has to spend on. Even if she's rich, he has to spend on her. If the children are rich, does the father have to spend on them? No. Only until they are, while they're poor and they don't have an ability to work. Once they are able to work, then the father is free. He does not have to spend on them. But the wife, he always has to spend on them. So some of the ulama, they said the wife, then the children, then the parents, then the relatives, and then after that, if he has surplus, then he can spend on anybody else. Now, if he doesn't have anything to spend, then in this case, there is another hadith. If a person cannot even spend on himself, then he doesn't have to take care of anybody else. He has to begin with himself. And if he can work, he has to work. If a person cannot work, he's not working, though he has the ability to work, and he's not spending on his wife and his family and his children, the ruler can force him to work, and so that he fulfills his responsibilities. So in this hadith, beloved brothers in Islam, is the importance of taking care of the dependents. beginning with oneself, then the children, the wife, the grandparents, the children and the parents if they're poor. If the children and parents are rich, it's not a dependent anymore. But the wife, and then after that, one can spend on whatever they please. And what if the husband is poor and the wife must be spent on, or she's demanding that he spend on her, and he doesn't have anything, he's poor, can she be separated due to that poverty? Here there's a difference of opinion, inshallah, and maybe before Isha, we'll finish this, the next topic, inshallah, about maybe 20 minutes before Isha, we'll cover the next hadith, inshallah. So this is what we have for the lesson. Any questions? Inshallah. Yes, ma'am.
I thought the parents come first, for everybody.
There is some narrations that, that say the parents and then the children. Let me see here. It's going to come actually, the hadith. But it says begin with yourself, the Prophet ﷺ in this narration. He said begin with yourself, then your wife, then your parents, and then your children. That's what he said in this narration. In another narration, he said the children was before the wife, and the parents are ahead of the children. You know, this narration was the parents first, and then the children. So, is the parents before the children? Is your question?
No, before anyone else, not even before the wife.
Is the parents before the wife? No. In some narrations, the parents are ahead of the children. I think the wife is before the parents. In this narration, the wife is before the parents. And they say the reason for that is that the parents, if they're rich, you don't have to spend on them. But the wife always has to be spent on. So that shows that she has a more stronger haq, a stronger right. Wallahu alam. There could be other brothers or other sisters that could spend on the parents, but the wife, nobody else would be there to spend on it. Wallahu alam. Any other questions? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The fiqh of nafaqat, the ruling on a woman whose husband is poor and spending on the woman who's divorced. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulin Kareem wa ala Ali wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma alimna ma yinfa'una wa anfa'na bima alamtana wa zidna ilma wa khikma wa huda. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali wa sahbihi wa sallam. Amma ta'ad. Respected brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, inshallah, for the second part of today's halaqah. And we have a new hadith. Let's read it together, inshallah. وَعَنْ جَابِرٍ يَرْفَعُ فِي حَامٍ أَمُتُوَفَّى عَنْهَا قَالْ لَا نَفَقَةَ لَهَا أَخْرَجَهُ الْبَيْهَقِي. So this hadith here is narrated by Jabir radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi, who says that it is a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the pregnant woman whose husband has died. The pregnant woman and her husband passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no nafaqa, there is no required spending money for her. Inshallah. So we'll go over here what the ulama they say about this issue. First of all, the woman, when she separates a husband and a wife, when they're married, of course, the husband has to spend on his wife. But what if the wife gets separated from the husband? Does the husband have to spend on her? All of the ulama agree that if the woman requested the divorce, she told the husband, I want a divorce, or she went to a judge and she wanted to get an annulment, what they call khula, then what happens in this case, when a woman, she wants to be divorced from the husband, she has to pay the husband to divorce him. She has to give back the mahr that she received. It's not the other way around. The husband doesn't have to pay her. She has to pay the husband, because he paid that money to have the relations with her, to be married to her. Now she doesn't want to be married to him anymore. She has to give back the mahr, the dowry that she received. Is that clear? Now that's called in Arabic khula, or annulment. That's if the husband didn't divorce her, but she wants to be divorced. And not that the husband did anything wrong. Now the second situation is if the husband divorces the wife. Not that she requested a divorce, but he divorces her. Does he have to spend on her? And so here the ulama, they say that if the divorce is permanent, meaning that it's over, three divorces, there's no way that they can get back together again, and the woman is not pregnant, then there's no spending money for her. The husband divorces his wife, permanent divorce, three divorces, she's not pregnant, there's no spending money for her. If the husband divorced her and she's pregnant, this is the question I think we were talking about in the break, then in that case he still has to spend on her while she's pregnant, because she is still considered in the waiting period until she gives birth. And during the waiting period, the husband has to spend on his wife. For a pregnant woman, during the waiting period, he has to spend on her. And if she gives birth, he still has to spend on her. Because who's feeding the baby? The mother. So to feed the baby, he has to feed the mother. Because that's his child. So he has to take care of her as long as she's breastfeeding the child. Even if she's not his wife anymore. And once the child is done breastfeeding, now in this case, there is no more spending on the wife, but the spending is for the child. For the child. Is that clear up to here? That those rulings there? And the only other case here that you have is if the woman, he divorces her, and he didn't permanently divorce her. He only gave her one divorce, and that means he can take her back. So during this time when she's staying in his house and waiting to see if either the husband can take her back, or he might leave her and after 3 months she leaves. That's called the iddah. During that iddah, he has to spend on her. He can't leave her in the house and not spend on her. Because she could be his wife at any moment. You know how the husband takes the wife back? If he only divorced her one time? You know how he makes her his wife again? All he has to do is say, I take you back. Or if there's two witnesses, it's better. He says, I take you back. And that's it. She's his wife again. Or even in the Hanbali schools, some schools, if he does, even kisses her, he does anything that shows that he still wants her, she's his wife again. So he has to spend on her in that case. But here, this hadith is that when a woman is pregnant and her husband dies, not that he divorced her, but her husband dies and she's pregnant, the Prophet ﷺ said there's no nafaqa, no spending money for her. Why not? When a... That's right. If he's dead, where is he going to get the money from? But couldn't they take it from his inheritance and say that, you know, she's pregnant, they should take out from his inheritance to spend on her until she gives birth? They don't do that. Why not? Does the wife inherit? She has a share of the inheritance already. she can, there's no need to take somebody else's inheritance and give it to her. She has her share. And not only that, the child in the womb, he gets a share of the inheritance. So there's no need to have spending money for them, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, let's go together to the next hadith, inshallah. May Allah reward you and increase us in understanding of his deen. This hadith is narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that the Prophet ﷺ said, the upper hand is better than the lower hand. And begin with those who depend on you. And if you don't, your wife might say, feed me or divorce me. Now, this hadith is narrated by Dharqutni. Again, we'll say it one more time. The Prophet ﷺ said, the upper hand is better than the lower hand, and begin with those who are dependent on you. If you don't, the wife might say, either you feed me or divorce me. So here basically in this hadith, we mentioned it, it was kind of mentioned before, the upper hand is the giving hand, and that has more virtue than asking. The person that gives, and they should only take when needed. Person should not always ask when they don't have a need. They should only take when they have a need for it. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, begin with those who depend on you, who are your dependents. And we mentioned this previously, that it's much more rewarding to give to your wife or your children or your parents who have a need than to give it to somebody else. We should always start with our own family who is in need. Now, also this hadith is a proof that a husband has to spend on his wife. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, spend on your dependents, or the wife might say, spend on me or divorce me. So this shows you that it's required, the husband has to spend on the wife and not the vice versa. Okay, let's go to the next hadith, inshallah ta'ala. This hadith is narrated by Sa'id ibn Musayyib, and he said that regarding a man who doesn't have anything to spend on his family, it was said to him, separate between them. A husband who does not have anything to spend on his wife, it was said, separate the husband and wife. This is narrated by Sa'id ibn Mansur. So somebody said to him, the narrator, is this sunnah? And he said, yes, it's sunnah. These are the words of Sa'id ibn Musayyib. He said, if a man does not have wealth to spend on his wife, separate between the two. Then one of the narrators, he asked, then Sayyid ibn Musayyib, is this sunnah? And he said, yes, this is from the sunnah. So here in this hadith, come close, come over here, mashallah. Come over here, yeah. Now, so this hadith here, we have the subject or the topic of what happens, assalamu alaikum, what happens when a husband is unable to spend on his wife? We had mentioned this earlier that we're going to talk about this issue. Basically, what happens when a husband cannot spend on his wife is that the matter is dealt with by a judge. The matter is dealt with by the Islamic judge. And the scholars, they differ. Basically, there's another narration here that Omar radiallahu anhu, he wrote to the people who went out in the expedition, the husbands, and he said, take care of your wives. You know, you have wives, they were absent, and he said, you have to spend on your wives or you're going to be divorced from them. So you have to choose. Either you spend on your wives, or if you can't spend on them, then you have to divorce them. And he said, if you divorce them, you have to pay them back for the money that they spent while you were absent. They spent on themselves. This is what Umar, he wrote to the people in the army. So here the issue is, if the husband cannot spend on his wife, either he's present or he's away, he's absent. So let's start with a case where the husband, he went away somewhere, and the wife, she doesn't have anything to spend on herself. Husband didn't leave anybody any money for her. So what does she do? She goes to the Islamic judge, the ruler. The ruler, he has a judge. And so the judge, what he has to do is, either he has to find out where the husband is. If it's known where the husband is, then he writes a letter or he sends a message to the husband. Come back and spend on your wife, or send some money to take care of your wife. Or if you can't do that, find somebody who's willing to spend on her until you get back. And you can pay him back. You can take a loan, let somebody take care of your wife, then when you get back, you pay him back. You have to do one of these three things. Either you send money and take care, either you come back yourself and you start spending on your wife, or you send money for her, or you find somebody who will spend on her as a loan, and then when you get back, you take care of it. Okay? If the husband does not respond, or he's in jail, for example. Say he's in jail, and some of them say more than 3 years. If he doesn't respond, or he's in jail, and he's in jail for more than 3 years, and he can't spend on his wife, what happens in this case? Some of the ulama, they said that the judge should give the husband a period of time. Say, if you don't start spending by this date, I want to divorce your wife so she can find somewhere else to get married. Naam. Okay, so this is the procedure. Now there's one other alternative also, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, is if the husband does not respond back, or he doesn't spend on the wife, he's away. If he can find, Adam, come over here please. If the husband has money, he has a car, he has a house, he has some property that is well known, not hidden wealth, but he has wealth. He left some cars behind, he left a house behind. The judge can order that his property be sold to take care of his wife. If he left some money behind, some property, the judge can order that that property be given to the wife to take care of her expenses on a monthly basis, and so that her expenses can be paid. Okay? So this is basically the procedure here. So it's not that right away she gets divorced. The judge will try to get a hold of the husband. He'll try to find somebody who will lend money to take care of the wife, and even he might sell the husband's property so that she can be taken care of. Now the other issue that comes up, what if the husband is present? He's there, but he doesn't want to spend on his wife. He has the money, but he refuses to spend on the wife. So what happens in this case? Yes? Actually, not yet. The judge will order the husband to spend on her. If she comes to the judge, my husband's not spending on me, I don't have food to eat, I don't have anything for my children, the judge will order the husband to pay for her. Because the judge, his responsibility is to make justice and remove the oppression, especially for weak people like women and others. So the judge, he will tell the husband, you have to pay. If the husband refuses, he can even put the husband in prison until he agrees to start paying on the wife. That's if the husband is rich. But what if the husband is poor? This is the very important issue here. The husband is here, he's present, but but he's poor. He doesn't have the money. He cannot afford to take care of his wife. So what happens in this case? You don't want to guess this time. Even here, the ulama say there's a difference of opinion. Some of the ulama, they say that yes, if the husband is present, then, and he's poor, then she can get a divorce. Because they said they considered it similar to a husband that is not able to have relations with his wife, like an impotent person. So the wife, she has a right to have children. She has a right to have the marital relation. So if the husband is not able to do that, then she has a right to be separated. Is the need for the marital relationship greater, or is the need for food greater? Food. The wife might be able to wait. In fact, if the husband is impotent, she has to wait 1 year before they can be separated. But the food, she can't live even a few days without food. So she has a greater right to that. So some of the ulama, they said that they can be separated. In fact, that's the majority opinion. But Shaykh Amin al-Shankisi, and this is the view of Abu Hanifa, and Abu Hanifa has a very strong position in this issue. Abu Hanifa, he says, no, you cannot divorce the wife from the husband because of poverty. You cannot do that. But he didn't say that the wife has to starve. He said she can go out and work. The judge can appoint her. She can work, and in those days they said she could work as a maid or work in the house of a very noble person who is, and she can work for him and earn enough to take care of herself. She cannot be divorced. She can work somewhere. And today, you know, they can work as if, you know, women have different jobs that are befitting for women, like teacher or seamstress or physician, that, you know, things that are befitting of women. The judge will tell her, you can go and do that. And take care of yourself, but not divorce. And the proof for this is very strong. When we look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, we find many instances where the wives were very, very, living in a very poor circumstances. We have there's one hadith, it's about Ramadan. Do you remember the hadith, there was a man who had the relations in Ramadan with his wife? Have you heard this hadith before? And then he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm destroyed. He said, why? What happened? He said, I fell into the relations in the day in Ramadan. He said, go free a slave. The man said, I don't have any slave, I'm poor. He said, fast 60 days. He said, how can I fast 2 months? I can't even fast 1 month, Ramadan. He said, feed 60 poor people. He said, I have nothing. I'm poor, I have nothing to feed poor people with. He said, the Prophet brought some dates and a big basket and he gave it to him. Go and feed the poor people as an expiation. Then the man, he said, wallahi, there is nobody in the city of Medina between these two valleys who's poorer than me. My family is the poorest family. He said, go and feed your own family. So this person who didn't have any food to feed his own family, and he had the relations with his wife, did the Prophet ﷺ tell him, divorce your wife? You can't spend on her? You don't have any dates? He didn't tell him that. Some ulama, they say that the wife didn't ask for the divorce. But it shows you that the women were patient in that time. Another example is when the woman, she came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, O Messenger of Allah, I give you myself in marriage. She wanted the Prophet ﷺ to marry her. So the Prophet ﷺ, he looked at her, he looked up and down, and he turned away. That means he didn't want to marry her. So then the Sahabi, he came, O Messenger of Allah, if you don't want to marry her, I'll marry her. The Prophet ﷺ said, what do you have to spend on her? He said, I don't have anything, nothing. I just have the clothes I'm wearing. The Prophet ﷺ said, go in your house, look, you must have something to give her as a present. He looked, even an iron ring, do you have an iron ring? He said, no, I don't even have an iron. Came back, I have nothing. If I give her my dress, I'm going to not be able to cover my aura. Then the Prophet said, do you memorize Quran? He said, yes, I memorize the Quran. He said, I marry you by what you memorize of the Quran. I marry you to her. So here, look at this. The Prophet married this woman to a Sahabi. Did he have anything? He was completely impoverished, poor man. How is he going to spend on his wife? The Prophet married him in spite of that. He wed her to that Sahabi. So we find many examples of this in the time of the Prophet. Even the Prophet's wives. The Prophet's wives, we know how poor they lived. But they were given the choice if they wanted to stay with the Prophet. Aisha, when the Prophet came to Aisha, he said, oh Aisha, I'm going to give you a choice, but don't tell me the answer until you ask your family. Do you want to stay with me and be poor, or do you want me to set you free, we'll divorce you, and you can have all the wealth that you want? Aisha, you know what she answered? Was she a righteous woman? What did she say? Did she want to be rich, or did she want to be with the Prophet? She said, you want me to make mashura about you? She said, I don't need to ask my family. I choose the Messenger of Allah. She didn't want the wealth. She chose to live in the life of poverty. So, and there's a verse in the Quran where the ulama, they say, Allah will make ease after hardship. سَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Here in Arabic, there's a scene, سَيَجْعَلَ. Do you know what this means? In Arabic, scene, it means for the future. That means no matter what hardship that people are in, Allah will give them, make things easy for them in the future. So here, many of the ulama, including Abu Hanifa, he said, no. Cannot divorce the wife because the husband is poor. Especially if the woman was married when the husband was poor. The woman knew that he was poor at the time of marriage, and there's no reason to be divorced. If she didn't know, even then, the Abu Hanifa, he says that they should not be divorced. And the reason that why the Shaykh, he says that, this is a very strong view. Not only that, none of the women in the time of the Sahaba, in the time of the Khulafa Rashideen, or any of the first three generations, we don't have a single case of a woman being divorced because of her husband's poverty. There's not a single case of those early generations. So this is one, you know, one strong position that the Hanafi school has. And the Shaykh said that this is very, very important, a very good ruling that we should really consider in this day and age. Because if you open the door for women getting divorced because of spending, that's a very dangerous door. Because how many women are going to come and complain about the luxurious things? I don't have this, I don't have this, I want a divorce, right? So you're opening a door to many, many great harms. So the best thing is that when a person, the preferred view is that there is no divorce due to poverty, but there should be patience, and the wife, she can work in a fitting job until Allah grants them a way out. سَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. So one must take these things into consideration. If you open that door to letting a woman get divorced to poverty, there might be, in this day and age, the materialism, the way that things are today, it might lead to a lot of evil in the family relations. Allah knows best. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Jazakallah khair. Is there any questions? Anybody have any questions? Khair? Alright. Jazakallah khair. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.